Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Wow!
Nice!
Yeah!
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
I love tight dressing gowns.
Damn you, coop chicken.
Come on to the rock show. Come on to the people's show. Come on to the premiere show, SmackDown.
It is the 9th of December, the year of our Lord, 1999. The World Is Not Enough was still number one in the UK box office, third week in a row. Well done, James Bond. Gran Turismo 2 was out. I wasn't really a fan, to be honest with you, but I'll move on before people start tweeting nasty things at me.
I quite like Gran Turismo.
By that, I like Gran Turismo 1. Gran Turismo 2, I'm like, oh no, it's even more realistic than the previous one. And I like Mario Kart with shells and bananas.
There is something to be said for when a game is too realistic.
Right.
Yeah. Yes, like Flight Simulator. Like yes. In theory, I love Flight Simulator, but I ain't got the energy to learn how to control every knob and dial on a thing.
Yeah. What shoot missiles?
Yes. Tell me how to shoot missiles. That's all I want.
But still, I would rather play Gran Turismo 2 than the current UK number one in the charts, which is, of course, Cliff Richard's Millennium Prayer.
Oh, what a guy. This was the ultimate mashup of the 90s, where he mashed up the Lord's Prayer with Auld Lang Syne. I mean, what a thinker. What a man.
I'll tell you, if this did nothing bring about the end of days, then we were definitely okay.
I thought this is what it was. I thought he knew, like, the top secret code that would cause the Earth's core to bubble over.
With a prophecy fulfilled, I guess. But while all of that stuff is happening, and some of the young people listening to this and the old people listening to this, while all that was occurring in the year, there was a little show called, WWF SmackDown.
Smacketh down.
Sometimes two words, sometimes one word, but it was still on UPN. What happened to that show, Tom? Is it still on the air? What is Chris Jericho doing wrong this week? The answer to these questions and more can only be answered right now on the Cultaholic Classic SmackDown Review, starring myself, Mafu, and the fantastic, majestic, salubrious. I'm not even sure it's a real word, but I like saying it.
I like
Mr.
it.
Mr. Tom Campbell, how the hell are you?
I am wonderful, thank you. Before we do anything else, we need to address the lack of elephant in the room, hence the echo. We are recording somewhere slightly different today because there's a lot of studio space. We found ourselves in what may become our new offices at some point. So we're recording in a back room. It does sound like we might be in a toilet, but apologies for that. As long as you can basically hear us still, that's all that matters. But I'm good. Just finished celebrating my birthday. Yeah. Just watched Eddie Kingston nearly kill you. That was quite exciting on Saturday night at North Wrestling.
That was lovely, wasn't
enjoyed it? Enjoyed that, mate. I enjoyed that, but I am marvellous, thank you. How the devil are you?
Oh, lovely. And again, thank you for blowing away the secret that we are actually in. Yes, Mankind's boiler room. He's not here right now, but the ambience sure as hell is.
Isn't it beautiful? Isn't it beautiful?
And yet there's nobody here, which is complete opposite to the sold-out North Wrestling show we had this weekend.
Yes,
we might as well mention that.
Yes.
Because as some people are pointing out, if this had happened in Manchester or maybe way further down south, people online would be talking about it and raving about it. But because it's the Northeast, it seems to be more of the Northeast thing that people care about.
What I would say is, Dave Meltzer talked about it.
Wait, did he really?
He was in the Wrestling Observer.
I didn't know that.
In the Daily Update. Dave Meltzer talks about. In fact, I've got the quote here on my Hello phone because I sent it to promoter Andrew Bowers just a short while ago.
All the names being dropped here.
All, like, literally, I've dropped so many names that it's now a health and safety hazard. The message is as follows. North Wrestling, coming off a Sky Sports documentary on the company, sold out for the first time last night with 286 fans in Newcastle, UK. And he goes on to say, Shreddy and Connor Renshaw beat Liam Slater and Alexander Henry. Roxy beat Danny Luna. Anti-Fun Police beat Amir. Amir Jogan and G-Money.
Jogan?
Amir Jogan.
Like Jogan Roche. Like,
I guess so. Yeah. And G-Money.
So he got Gene Money's name right, but the guy who's on NXT UK, signed by WWE, name he didn't get right.
The only name... Rory Coyle beat Eddie Kingston in an ODQ match.
Those names are right.
TK Cooper beat HT Drake.
Those names are right.
Gia Dams beat Kurt, Fraser Thomas, and Zoe Knox.
Wow.
Zoe Knox. And Spike Trevay beat Screwface to keep title, thanks to Jordan Clark.
By a homing pigeon.
So, I'd like to congratulate Zoe Knox on her fabulous contribution to wrestling.
Gia, damn is and she good.
Gia, that's one for commentary.
There we go.
Remembering that one.
Yeah,
so great night. And Eddie Kingston cut a wonderful promo. And we've talked on other podcasts about the Eddie Kingston-Matthew Gregg relationship. And it was at the end of this match where Eddie Kingston, where he says, yo, where's Matthew at? And there's Matthew, who is, and let's add to the pop culture pot here, who was hiding behind Photoshop John Eiley.
Oh, God, this is like Smash Brothers for the comic SmackDown review, isn't
Mate,
it?
I was in hog's heaven. Says Matthew, hiding behind Photoshop John Eiley, as Eddie Kingston goes, Matthew, where you at? I'm going to f***ing kill you.
I'm like, Photoshop John, can you Photoshop me 7 foot taller?
What an absolute night. And it was nice for you to meet Photoshop John as well.
I was going to say, shout outs to him. We've mentioned him enough times.
Yeah.
He was just lovely meeting, putting the face to the name.
He's an actual real human being.
Yeah.
Bray's the best boy.
And he's obviously a fine replacement for when I'm not available and you're King of the Ring 94.
Oh, yeah. He was good like that, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was. So, Photoshop John, thank you very much.
But anyway, it's not about King of the Ring 94.
Meltzer said that about North. What did he say about this SmackDown episode?
Well,
no, that's not right. To set up the SmackDown episode. There we go. Then you've got the bit.
You were close enough. You were close enough. So we're going to get into this week's episode of SmackDown from the year of our Lord 1999 very shortly. Just a little quick dance around the Wrestling Observer from this week to tell you what was occurring. Dusty Rhodes debuted on the 2nd of December ECW on TNN tapings.
Oh, God, that was a thing, yeah.
Joey Styles announced at the beginning that Dusty Rhodes was there but couldn't appear on TV for legal reasons. This, of course, was work, brother. As Steve Corino later on that night called him out, called him names. So Dusty came out, hit him with the old bionic elbows. We were setting up, apparently, to get a tag team match between Terry Funk and Raven versus Dusty Rhodes and Tommy Dreamer, apparently, down the road. Obviously, we know that didn't happen. Also at this time...
Yes, yeah, because add in there, Funk went to WCW.
He did indeed.
Where they did spend up some time building up Funk and then he just left.
And Rhodes did as well. Dusty eventually would go back to...
But I think they always knew that was a short-lived thing. That was just a vacation in Philadelphia. Oh, God. Anyway.
There was also rumours all this week that Shawn Michaels could be heading to ECW.
Right.
Let that sink in.
That might have killed him.
According to Raven, who called into the Wrestling Observer radio show, the deal was basically up to whether Vince McMahon would allow Michaels to come or not, because WWF and ECW did have a good relationship and they would quite often share talent. It's more likely it would have been a one-shot deal, obviously a non-wrestling angle, or to build a story going into a pay-per-view for ECW. However, at press time, neither Heyman nor Michaels have got anything sorted. So we'll see what happens there.
Interesting. Yes, and that did not happen.
No.
Good God.
Would have been an interesting sign, wouldn't it?
99 to 2000 ECW you can see it tumbling down like Evangelion, really. Oh, yeah, Shawn Michaels is coming to replace Terry. Yeah, sure.
Also, in this particular week, the New York Daily talks about the indictment of the Gold Club, which is a strip club in Atlanta.
Yes.
You know about this?
I do know about... Sorry for that noise.
No, tell us. Tell us about the Gold Club, you pervert.
Well, I don't want to give the way what's going to happen later on. Yeah, you know, for those that don't know, I'm going to tease this because this will make people tune in every week. The conclusion would be very, I want to say interesting, but I'm trying to think of a way. Involve Bischoff. I'll well, just say, hey, look, polyamory is not just for Christmas. That's all I'm saying.
The owner of the club, Steve Kaplan, was indicted last month on charges that the club was served as a skimming operation for millions of dollars for the mob. So in this report, several major sports stars who frequent the Gold Club were named and or shamed. Those names included WCW wrestlers Randy Savage, Diamond Dallas Page, Scott Steiner and Perry Saturn. Go on, lads.
Well, Bischoff wasn't a wrestler back then, so...
Yeah, we're still yet to get to the Bischoff bit.
That's the juicy bit. Just you wait. That's the Toby Carvery, that story.
Meanwhile, in the WWF, WWF have announced the hiring of a sportscaster from KMBC in Kansas, hoping to join the broadcast team starting just at the beginning of the new year, 2000. Mm. Do you think that would be?
In 2000.
Starting early 2000. 3rd of January is his start date.
Coachman?
Jonathan Coachman.
Yeah, there we go.
And also in this particular week, Trish Stratus, having signed with WWF, suffered a sprained ankle in her first week of training. Yeah. She'd be all right, though. She'd be over it.
And she was never seen or heard from. She went to ECW to replace Terry Funk.
That's pretty much how it is. So that gives us around the houses.
Yeah. And something I realised that another plot point, because we hit it when plot points don't get resolved on this show, on the SmackDown, the continuity show. The FMW show that happened with Shawn Michaels as special guest referee.
Ooh.
The Yokohama Arena, the 10th anniversary. Woohoo. Yeah, that was on the 23rd of November. So I think fair enough to say about that. This was a show that FMW put all their eggs into one basket and went, right, cool. We're not really doing well financially right now. We'll put on a really big show, invest a lot of money, and hopefully everything will be all right. FMW is not around anymore, so I don't think I need really that to happen. It did not do very well. This was during the period that was the late 90s were interesting for Japanese wrestling because everyone realized, oh, we were used to this like selling out and having this really strong fan base, and all the companies suffered. It was like, oh, why is this? And it was like, one, people moved on. Two, Pride is about to start and completely change everything. Oh, it's started by now. And two, it just wasn't the same. So they had, here's the main event. It's billed as H, which is actually Hayabusa unmasked, versus Hayabusa, who's actually Mr. Ganase wearing Hayabusa's mask. just let that set in for a bit. With Shawn Michaels, a special guest referee, replacing Steve Williams, who refused to wrestle for FMW.
Oh, yes.
Of allegiance to Giant Baba and All Japan. And it was an all right match, but Shawn Michaels clearly did not give two tosses and kept on counting them out when they're outside the ring, despite the fact that there were no count outs. So Mr. Ganase pushed him at one point, goes, no, stop counting. And he goes, fine.
Oh, God. Was it just Shawn Michaels in couldn't care mode?
Absolutely. Yeah. He was more focused on the fact that his shorts were short. The shortest shorts you've ever seen. That not only can you see right. the groin region, you can see his unborn kids, Shawn Michaels. Bleh. On that lovely note, we should probably get to SmackDown, that little show. It's the setup show for Armageddon.
Oh, and as Michael Cole says at the very start, we are in an Armageddon frame of mind. So like 2020 then.
Like a New York state of mind.
Yes.
So, start off in Boston with Road Dogg coming out the ring and he's going to wrestle Chris Jericho. So obviously with Chris Jericho breaking China's thumbs and Dogg is part of the Degeneration Sex While You're Sleeping group, they of course get heel reactions by being cheered very loudly.
Yeah, what was this heel versus heel malarkey then? Because that's what it was, wasn't it? This is...
Technically, you are right.
You're opening the show with heel versus heel. You're still up against Thunder at this point. Like, you couldn't give a damn. You're winning every week.
Look, it's all the setup. Armageddon, this Sunday, MechWarrior 3. Jericho says he's going to end the Freak of Nature's career, referring to China, so he needed a warm-up match. So because he's wrestling a tattooed, long-haired, effeminate loser of a wrestler, he's going to get practice by wrestling a long hair. And it's good because they cut to Road Dogg in the ring going, count off an effeminate, long hair. right, I get it. And then pretends to cry by doing the hands under the eyes motion. So I like that bit. Jericho then promises to beat him Ayatollah style. Not the Ayatollah of rock and roller. The actual Ayatollah.
That was an interesting... That was Jericho again trying to find some new catchphrases, I feel like.
I think he just forgot what he was supposed to... I think he got a bit jumbled up, as I sometimes do every single podcast, every single minute of said podcast. So he's like... I'll beat you like the Ayatollah of rock. I've messed it up. The Ayatollah. I'm gonna pull a fatwa on you.
There was a bit where Jericho said that he'd suffered a concussion from the hammer shot.
I was gonna say.
And the general consensus was, "Oh, you got a concussion. Oh, what a loser." The general feel was he was a crybaby for suffering a concussion. What a weird world this is compared to where we are now.
Yeah, can we go back and if we could bring back one thing from the Attitude Era, it's concussions that only last 1 week.
Yeah, that's it. And you're a loser if you get one. Like, yeah. Oh, who do you think? Get a concussion, crack on, crybaby.
Soft head Jericho.
CTE, yeah. More like crybaby, ta-ra, egg.
Yeah, that was also one of Jericho's lines.
That's my favourite line.
She's got this giant pad of scrawled out now. The Ayatollah of CTE. Anyway, before the match can start, China shows up with her entrance to do commentary and realise that, oh, wait, she's not actually part of DX right now, is she?
No.
It was never actually resolved properly, but she's just sort of like edged away.
Yeah, she just kind of like, as all that stuff was kicking off with Triple H marrying another woman and moving into the back into that group, China essentially was Homer in a hedge, just kind of disappearing into it. It's like, yeah, well, I'm getting some relatively good baby face reactions, so I'm going to go.
Yeah.
Let you crack on, lads. Cool.
And Cole says, due to Vince McMahon's declaration, there will be no interference by DX or they're suspended. Ooh. He says this as...
Said with such intrigue.
Yeah.
Oh, whatever, Trevor.
So I've even typed out, because I typed all this when I was eating Coop chicken.
So at some point during your notes, you're just going to start writing like one lines for your entire, because you're so feeling so bloated from Coop chicken.
Yeah, I typed out and even had the audacity, ladies and gentlemen, to do a break. Wait, what are they called again? We just like press enter and like leave a gap.
Paragraph?
Yeah.
You left a paragraph?
Yeah. Paragraph. Not even a full stop. Because my delicious Coop chicken had just arrived. And it says this as China's doing commentary. So Jericho gets the win after the lion salt, but Road Dogg gets his foot on the ropes. Referee doesn't spot it because these are these newer, efficient referees post the union. So China snitches. So the match is restarted. However, Jericho gets his foot on the ropes after Road Dogg gets Stretch Armstrong, but China knocks his foot off the ropes, so Jericho loses. Thank God there was no interference from DX, eh, Tom?
So with Road Dogg's finisher, and I'm intrigued by this, like, do we call it the Stretch Armstrong because that's what the video game called it? Because I don't ever remember any of the commentators calling it the Stretch Armstrong. But we've had conversations where we thought about it, and also in WWF Attitude, when they had these bits where the wrestlers were standing in the ring and there'd be sound bites from them. Yes. A bit like they've mastered that with the new Mortal Kombat games where they just smack talk between each other. It's very clever. But and there'd be one which Road Dogg would say where he'd say, "Oh, I'm going to hit you with the Stretch Armstrong." I was like, that's the first time I think I've ever heard anybody refer to it as the Stretch Armstrong as a finisher. I wasn't sure whether they mentioned it on commentary or not. They always
it could
just
be that they didn't know.
Yeah.
And then maybe they're like, "What's the name of your finisher?" when he's doing the record and he went, Stretch Armstrong. Cool, Stretch Armstrong. But it was interesting you're thinking about that because I was looking at Twitter and Jay Hunter pointed out that the guy who wrote Eggshells, that guy, the New Japan
Chris Carlton. Chris Charlton.
Thank you. He called it on the New Japan this week, or whatever. I don't watch New Japan that every week as some people do. Somebody came off the second rope. And he went, "Oh, off the Bret Hart rope." And OSW have said that for so long. That's become almost canon now.
It's now canon. I think I've heard Chris Charlton a few times refer to a move off Bret's rope, the most dangerous rope. I think we've done it on commentary for North Wrestling. I'm pretty sure even we've gone off the Bret rope.
Yeah, it's nice when fan terms become official terms because there's no one saying otherwise.
No one's correcting it. Like, no one ever, like, not, like, I want to hear Brett commentate one of his matches and go, there I am coming off the me rope. I'd love that.
My rope, the deadliest rope.
My rope, the deadliest rope. I think if you ask anybody, they'll tell you that it's the deadliest. All right, Brett. All right, Brett.
And after that match, I said that rope came to me. I said, tears in its eyes. Said it was the best rope you'd ever had.
Anyway, I wrote about it in the Calgary Sun that time. Sorry, Brett.
Speaking of deadly, backstage the McMahons. Oh, good. Oh, well, if you like this bit, get stay here in 10 more times.
Episode. Strap in. A lot of McMahon nonsense.
And here enters Test for the fakest inserted crowd pop you're ever likely to hear in a pre-recorded wrestling show. So good, they used it for WrestleMania 2000. Available now at Nintendo 64. Vince gives them alone time.
So Test and Steph are alone in the the changing room. And...
I'll be feeling that. No, that's not good.
No. When the last one went out where we talked about Test's current role in the company, I got a bit angry. And I thought maybe I overreacted. Maybe I'm missing something here. I think this week he's worse. I think this week he's actually worse. He has... Right, he sits next to Steph. Says, hey, well, Steph, it's been a rough couple of days. He says this to the woman who was roofied and sexually assaulted. It's been a rough couple of days. Well, boo you, you bell end. And then what does he do next, Matthew? What does Test do next?
He says, look, it's been a hard week.
Hard week.
I've been trying to get all the jiggies in Click Clockwork.
Hard week. I've turned out I'm really crap at Killer Instinct 64.
Yeah. Steph, I think it's best if we call the engagement off.
You gutless mess. Gutless.
Tess and Stephanie give each other a farewell kiss, but X-Pac walks in a mock test for kissing his best friend's wife. Tess threatens him, but X-Pac says, oh yeah, come get some. And Tess... slams the door.
You Test flipping at this man. I can't get my head round what a wet wipe this guy is. What an absolute wet wipe this human being is. It's been a rough few days. Let's call off our engagement. Here comes one of the funny boys hang around with the guy who did this to your wife to be. Oh, you're rubbish. Slams the door in his face. Doesn't run after him and batter him. No, I'm going to shut this door because I want to make this woman feel worse. So you're interrupting me. I hate Test. This is awful. Test, and something else that happens later on with Test as well that makes me really... I'm happy to see the back of Test soon.
Can I just show you what I've actually written in my notes that I made was doing Tom... Doing Coop Chicken. And I've actually typed up what happened God there. And I've you. Actually just typed...
Let Tom rant. He has indeed written Let Tom Rant.
Yeah.
So thank you for giving me the room.
There's even like...
See, my notes...
Honey mustard stains and it just says Let Tom Rant.
My notes here say, cut off whatever Math is saying and rant.
Let Matthew get his N64 reference in.
Get the N64 reference in and then let's go into why we hate Test. But gutless mess.
I put Shorty G could cook Test.
Am I missing something? Like, and I don't know whether
I... No, you're right. It's very odd almost to see how they would...
He just
do this to this guy who at one point was going to be a star when they need new stars. And it's like, nah, you know what, Test? Turns out we don't need new stars after all.
Well, we do. We just don't want you. So can you just fade into the background as quick as you possibly can? Jeez. Makes me angry. Anyway.
Got too close to Steph and his wings burnt.
too close to the main event and his wings burnt up. Too close to the main event and his guts fell out.
We kept him breaking his nose in that glass ceiling. Anyway, in the ring, Kurt Angle and his tag team partner extraordinaire, Steve Blackman, or as Angle calls him, his apprentice, they take on the Dudley Boys. Devon challenges Angle to amateur style wrestling, gets in that position, does good. So Angle goes, all right, let's see what you've got. He gets amateur style. So Devon kicks him in the ribs. Nice little bit there. Angle German suplexes the life out of Devon. as I see it taken properly. Looking at you, Taz. More on that to come. Devon's still doing the... what is that called? Signs of the cross after the diving headbutt?
The old spectacles, testicles, wallet and watch.
Yeah, I don't know the real name.
The sign of the cross, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. So where you motion the cross in midair. Yeah.
Like, Shalom Aleichem, you know, and all that
stuff.
It gets no pop, though. The headbutt is enough, so I'm glad they stopped doing that. They'll have, like, a famous advert to bring along, which actually coming on very soon.
I don't think he stops doing the spectacles, testicles, wallet and watch.
He stops doing it after the headbutt.
Yeah.
Which is the important thing. It's good, it's just not there.
Yeah, because he does, like, instead he incorporates later on, like a hop in a circle.
Yeah.
And then does it. It's definitely a taunt in No Mercy.
Yeah, it definitely is. And they call it the Devon Armstrong. Steve Effin Blackman, to give him his full name, tags in the Destroy Everyone. Doesn't appreciate Angle blind tagging back in. So he does it to him. And while Agon is giving him the evil eye, the Dudleys finish him with the 3D. Angle claims that doesn't count as a loss for him. It's a loss for Blackman and proceeds to angle slam him. Cole immediately adds, they're wrestling at Armageddon, MechWarrior 3, seconds afterwards. Do not all let, maybe this is a pre-taped show, not a, wow, maybe this will heat up on this Sunday. It's just, no, they're wrestling.
Yeah, let's just get that line in there dead quick.
Yeah, it was a bit odd the way they do this, but they get better at that type of thing.
Do you think, like, Steve Blackman doesn't wrestle anymore. Do you think he would be a hot prospect on the indie circuit if he did?
For a Joey Janela type thing, Spring Break, absolutely.
I love the idea of Steve Blackman turning up at like a Joey Janela Spring Break and just bringing the noise. Incidentally, while you're here, I want to ask you about this because it dropped over the weekend. Joey Janela Spring Break 4, are you going?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah? Because you've seen what's been announced.
I was going before that, but yeah, now I'm going twice.
Orange Cassidy versus Minoru Suzuki.
Yeah.
My head can't fathom.
It's going to be so good.
I can't, it's genuine. You know how they say that our brains, they can't, a human brain can't fathom, tech in the future, we can't comprehend certain things. Yeah, right. If we do, then it would cause, our brain, the reason, a lot of people believe that's the reason why, we can't contemplate whether there's life after death, because if we were to contemplate it and have the answer to it, it would cause our brains to erupt, right? That's how I feel about Suzuki versus Orange Cassidy. Oh, yeah. My brain can't comprehend how that will work, but I know it's something that I need to know.
Yeah.
I can't. Every time I think it's going to be one way, then I think, oh no, it'll probably be another. But I can't. My brain, bless you, my brain won't allow me to contemplate how it work.
Yeah.
I can't.
Hyped. Hype. Brilliant. And even better, they had the Lone Wolf and Cub audio, famous Shogun Assassin series playing, if you choose the ball, yeah. I was like, oh, okay, that's nice. And then the JoJo's Bizarre Adventure stuff coming in. Because that's nice. And then it's Cassidy versus Suzuki. And it was funny because I try not to go with what Twitter is talking about. No, a lot of people on Twitter were going, I can't believe Suzuki's coming in to wrestle this lad. It's he's done comedy for years now.
Yeah, a lot of people just think Suzuki is just your hard ass wrestler, but no, he's actually done good comedy wrestling.
Yeah,
people forget. And also, on the flip side of that, everyone assumes that Orange Cassidy is just a comedy wrestler. Orange Cassidy can go.
That's right, he can.
And so that's why my brain can't comprehend how this match will shake up.
You know, it's gonna be great when Cassidy wins.
Could you imagine?
He'll do it.
Oh my, he will win, won't he?
Yeah.
Oh my day.
Anyway, I have to move on to SmackDown, I beg your pardon.
No, let's talk about this for longer.
No, yeah. But we're talking about all these other things. It's going to make SmackDown look bad because we're building to Armageddon, an all-timer for sure.
MechWarrior presents Armageddon.
Kevin Kelly recaps the prestigious four-way titty match that's going to be happening at Armageddon. God.
Kevin Kelly, who comes across as a lech here, but later it makes sense, so it's fine.
Yeah, right.
Where Kevin Kelly says, I'll be interviewing Miss Kitty, who I understand is in a stunning evening dress.
Alan Partridge is
it
fine.
It is so... Rockery, lovely ladies.
They're all lovely. On Raw, China's music plays, and she induces Miss Kitty to be in the match as opposed to that. And the commentators are Queen Distress. Wow, China wrestling women, that's absurd. Okay. Miss Kitty protests that she can't be in the dressing gown match at Armageddon.
The evening gown match.
The dressing... Is there a difference between an evening gown and dressing gown?
Oh, there is! Well, of course there is! Why have I typed dressing gown?
Okay, well...
A dressing gown match!
One you wear on a red carpet, one you wear on a bath mat.
Upper-class Matthew Sherry's room!
Go on, you got this. You got this. So close. So close, Tom.
Matthew, wearing a cheeky off-the-hanger number from Silent Night.
I was wondering, like, why is Tom interrupting me? That's really... Oh, I've typed dressing gown. Damn you, Coop Chicken. Delicious, greasy buffalo wings.
I mean, a dressing gown match would end much quicker. You just pull the cord. You just pull the cord. Done.
Like a parachute. Anyway, Miss Kitty protests she can't be in the dressing gown match because it doesn't exist. She then protests she can't be in the evening gown match either because she doesn't wear underwear. Yeah!
Massive pop from the crowd.
Lads.
Titty Kelly will have an update later.
Titty Kelly.
Christian, with Rare Singles theme, featured on WF Music Volume 4, comes out and replays of Edge and his sprained knee from last week. Can't tell if it's real or not.
I was going to say, we don't know if that was legit, do we?
But it doesn't matter, because speaking of the walking wounded, he's taking on your favourite and ours, the British Bulldog.
Yes! Something significant happens.
Oh, I was going to say,
I want you to tell it.
All right. As Bulldog heads to the ring, the number 13 appears on the Titantron, and an orange light emanates. Ooh. He'll be who we're making fun of when Bulldog leaves.
What
passing the torch.
What I love about that bit is that Bulldog's walking to the ring, all the lights go out, and his music stops, and it's replaced by this boom, 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 this thumping noise, red light emanating from the Tron. Bulldog doesn't react. He is just so disinterested. I don't care. Just gets in the ring. And even like as the thing's happening, he's jawjacking with Christian as the referee. I don't know whether he was told, don't react, or whether it's just a case of, I don't care, they're doing something, I'm not bothered.
He isn't even taking bumps for Titantron.
He didn't sell it at all. He was not bothered.
So whatever. I see hallucinations all day, mate. But that's what, coincidentally, when Taz failed to do the German suplex on Angle, he went, Angle what? I'm effed. More of that to come. Bulldog gets rammed into the corner and he hilariously doesn't take any of it, barely grazes it. And as I'm mocking this, I've just realised I'm wearing a new shirt and I've still got the bit of plastic that's in the thing.
Is this in your nose? Oh, it's actually in real life.
I don't know why I would type that. It'll be very absurd. I'm literally doing it. Why is that there? Christian lands the reverse DDT and sets up the Impaler / Unprettier / Kill Switch. But the Mean Street Posse run in, which causes Venus and D'Lo to schmoz it up.
I'm just going to get this for you.
Thank you. I'll just keep on talking about this fascinating match. Truly, the European title scene was the NXT UK of 1999.
How is this? I'm trying to get the thing on the
Tom
back
is
of
still
your
resting
shirt.
With the back of my shirt.
I'm still. For some reason, it's stuck.
You're ruining SmackDown.
I'm not, mate. You're doing a great job.
Oh.
I'm just taking time.
Of ruining it.
I can just put it through there. There we go.
Thank you. It's always nice when you get new clothes and you just put them on off the rack. My new dressing gown, my new shirt.
He just bought a lovely new dressing gown for a steak dinner later. And he's going to have he's got a nice luxurious bath before it. He's going to wear his evening gown before he gets in.
Tom, have you got any good Bulldog material this week?
Yes, I actually thought this was the fastest wrestling match Bulldog has ever had. Like, there was some chain wrestling. Some wild chain wrestling appeared, and Bulldog was actually doing quite a bit in. But then, and then the finish happened. And do you know what? With everybody else, I tend to skim over like how they act in the match. But with Bulldog, I laser focus.
I stopped eating chicken for this match.
There is a bit, just like at the end, where Christian's trying to lock him up into a submission. And Bulldog's sort of standing up. Then the posse run in. And it is, as soon as the posse run in, Bulldog just collapses. It's like, you know those toys that you get on the seaside? Like they're like, it's like a wooden donkey.
Oh, I know what you mean, yeah.
It's a wooden donkey.
Yeah.
And you put your thumb in underneath. And as soon as you put your thumb in the hole underneath, the donkey just collapses. That's what Bulldog did here.
Bulldog was unplugged from the Matrix.
Basically, Bulldog got unplugged.
Oh, thank God, me lads are here.
Oh, that's been done for the week. And rest. It was like he immediately shut down. And I'm very aware that we only laser focus in on Bulldog because he's just so funny. But then the posse come in, and then Val Venus comes out, and D-Lo comes out, and it's all a schmoz, and Armageddon, triple threat, baby.
Yeah.
Three of the hottest mid-carders.
Three as in Mech Warrior 3.
Yes, the Mech Warrior 3 match, as they're going to call it.
Yeah, all the mobility of a Mech Warrior.
Bulldog is basically the Mech Warrior plug every week.
You have to add in crowd noise so you don't hear his joints going...
This wrestler is brought to you by Mech Warrior 3. Pete Gass controlling him backstage with that phalanx of controllers.
Bulldog's knees brought to you by Castrol, genius.
Anyway, I've heard.
Anyway, we're being silly here. Titty Kelly interviews Kitty backstage. What are you going to wear for this prestigious match happening? And she says, well, not a dressing gown, you idiot. And he goes, yeah, you'd have to be a proper idiot to say that. She says, this is serious business here, Kevin Kelly. She is renaming herself The Cat. No longer will she be Miss Kitty. And Kevin Kelly, for some reason, does not take this name change or the dressing gown match seriously. So The Cat rips his shirt, rather like a cat.
Mauls him. She mauls him like a cat. For some reason, Kevin Kelly decided that this is the day where all the stupid interviews I've done, I'm just going to just belittle this one particular person. I wonder whether The Rock watched this and went, all right, that's your attitude, is it? Get ready for the next year. I'm going to make your life miserable as an interviewer.
But he had to be a bit of a dick, so The Cat would still be cheered. If The Cat had just cheered the fan favourite, Kevin Kelly, then who knows how badly she would have been booed at Armageddon this Sunday.
I was nervous, and this is the problem I had. I was nervous that the cat wasn't gonna get a payoff to this. This is what this company has done to me now, that I'm now used to situations where women are made to look stupid and there's no comeuppance. So I was ready for Kevin just to go, oh, well, whatever, Kitty, back to ringside. Like, so I was relieved when Miss Kitty, soon to be The Cat, just ripped Kelly's shirt off and knocked him over. I was like, yes, that's good. Big fan of this. Hyped for Armageddon with Mech Warrior 3 on Sunday.
Yeah.
Hope nothing bad happens that gets them kicked off television.
Yeah. Oh, that's coming more.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Big Boss Man on Raw. Oh my God. Interviews Big Show's mum. Apparently this is a secret conversation once you get inside the house and ask, I don't know, we just cut to the meat and gravies of this bit. But revealing to this wrestler, she's let inside the house, that Big Show is in fact illegitimate. And Boss Man reveals that his daddy wasn't his real daddy. And she doesn't know whose real daddy was. And then Big Show reveals that it's all right, because he's filming this through the window. Look at Little Red Knight. Mwah! Big Show, you're a big, nasty bastard. The Big Show is not here on SmackDown tonight. He's comforting his mum, which gets an all-timer from Lawler going, no, he's out looking for his real father somewhere.
This is your WWF champion. This is your champion being treated like this. This is the top guy in the company, in theory.
Yeah, but by the top heel in the company, by Big Boss Man.
Of course, yes.
Who walks to the ring and opens, put this bit up, and goes, "Who's your daddy, punk?" And it's Boss Man and Albert, his crony, taking on the Titty Boys, Matt, Jeff, and with Terry Reynolds, left and right. And this match is brought to you by WF The Music Volume 4, WrestleMania 2000.
One of our remaining sponsors. Yes. Warrior 3! Oh no, it was Resident Evil.
Resident Evil 3, which is soon to be remade. Can't wait for that.
I enjoyed Michael Cole reading the script for this and then being far too chipper for the last line. Resident Evil 3, it's in your blood! Like, no, it's that's how the virus is spread. That's know your source material.
That's really bad. It's like asking Road Dogg what his finisher was. Rizzy, what's the catch line? You're all gonna die horribly.
Yay! You're all gonna die horribly. It's in your blood.
Buy it at Costco. Oh, sorry, Tom. Try this thrilling match. Breaking news: The Big Show is here. Oh, that's nice. He's the WWF champion. Lawler. Well, there's about 10,000 people here, so there's a good chance his dad's in the crowd.
Oh, for God's sake.
Some spots happen. Hardy Boys look all right, but it doesn't matter because Big Show in jeans, as we all know about British Bulldog, if you're wearing jeans, you're going to be at your best.
He looks like a bit like he's in his Milk Tray gear. He's a bit like Milk Tray Man.
What a reference.
He looks like the Milk Tray Man, like turtleneck, jeans, black, like...
For all the over 40s out there loving that reference, this one's for you.
The Milk Tray Man.
All because the Big Show loves Milk Tray. Big Show in Milk Tray jeans hammers Big Boss Man to the point where him and Albert run off and then they drive out the arena and Show yells, "Armageddon, you're mine."
It's like how Big Show spits on his top at one point.
He's all phlegmy from all the chocolate.
He's all phlegmy. Yeah, sometimes some chocolate makes you quite phlegmy. So he's obviously pushed a load into his face. And as he throws Bossman out of the ring, he's going, blah, 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 blah. And you just see this perfect wad of like white sputum just land on his lovely black top. It's like, God, he's just, everything he tries, he looks second rate. Just gobbing on himself.
Yeah. So he made his Big Show top look like AJ Styles' top from TNA that one time. Yeah. And then we come to a genuinely good bit as we were getting ready for
God.
Yeah, no, in brackets. No, really. And of course, I'm referring to my side order of Corner the Cob arriving.
Why did it arrive after?
Because I was too busy writing
notes. Was it one of those things where you get with delivery where they didn't... You didn't get all the items, so you...
Because it was so busy, Tom, because it's such a nice establishment. I'm going to point this podcast and go, look, give me free stuff. Al Snow was about to go one-on-one with Mick Foley. So we get a lovely recap of this storyline. Al Snow was friends with Mick Foley, and they were tag team champions for about a week when Al Snow was king of Walmart. And they show little clips of them going to Vegas and the strip joints and all the little jokes. But then Mick Foley resurrected the Rock and Sock connection. And they became the number one contenders to the WWF tag titles. Al Snow does not like The Rock. And Mankind on Raw sums it up. Look, Al, I like being part of the Rock and Sock connection because we win matches. Al Snow and Mankind didn't. Al Snow was hurt and reminds Mankind about that plot line that never got resolved about how, you know how he felt when Rock binned his book? Yeah. Well, after I read all those Al Snow jokes, I couldn't take any more. It was me that threw it in the bin. It was me that put the screw in the tuna. It was Al Snow all along. And before Mankind could say anything, he twats him with head. I love that they summed this up because Rock never said he threw the book in the... He just went, I don't know what you... The Rock does not know what you're talking about, Mankind. And I love this. This should have been the pay-per-view match. This is a much better storyline than they had going on anything else in the friggin' show.
I enjoyed this. I thought this was a really strong... video package that frames Al Snow as a star.
Yeah, almost. Yeah,
I think almost. I mean, like I've enjoyed him to be mixed up with those two.
Yeah,
is really strong.
He's perfect for the role, not as a star, but as Mankind's mate, which is what we want here. So this episode we've got the one-on-one match, but Mankind doesn't want to fight his buddy, so Al just pounds him.
Yeah, so he just constantly just has nothing to do with it. I think it's at this point, as just before the match started, Al Snow was coming down to the ring. I was thinking, Al Snow needs new music now. Like this, and it's coming, and it's coming.
Yeah, I actually, like, yeah, you're right. That's
his music. Point. His music now no longer suits his temperament.
Yeah.
So that needs to change.
So Mankind changes his mind and launches him into the steps, but then still cares about him, Mick waits, and wants the referee to check on Al Snow, his good friend. Al Snow then tries choking Mankind, which is enough to push Mick over the edge, and resumes fighting him just to survive. Mankind pauses just before braining him with a chair, so Al Snow kicks him in the dick and smacks him to death with a chair as the referee throws the match out. And Michael Cole did a very good job explaining this match and what was going on, because I think for this era of wrestling, it's probably asking a bit too much, even with that lovely video package to possibly someone. And it's one of the points where Michael Cole hammering it home actually helped this. So write that down. That's a compliment I've given Michael Cole in 99.
Can we remember on this day in the year of our Lord, we gave Michael Cole a compliment?
Yeah.
And I feel like Michael Cole does a lot of stuff right when it's in post. Is that really bad? You can tell it's in post-production because the way that sometimes he'll just get to the point of something because he knows he's only got about like 5 seconds to squeeze it in. Sometimes it's good to do it that way.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's not bad. He gets a bad rap. He's not the worst.
No,
my!
Yeah. You know, he's there filling, like Al Snow here, he's filling the role he's supposed to be doing on TV. If he wasn't doing it, they'd get Tom Phillips or some of the Tom Phillips knockoffs that they've got currently doing it. And that's what they want. So that's it. Sometimes with commentary, you realize it doesn't have to always be a Bobby Heenan or a Monsoon or Ventura or whatever. Sometimes you just need a dude to go, the event is happening at this date at this time.
Yeah.
And it is sponsored by MechWarrior 3, which kindly explains us that if Vince McMahon beats Triple H at Armageddon, the wedding is off. Triple H explains this and offers this role to Vince McMahon on Raw. He then forcibly kisses Stephanie. This has been a giant robot video game. For all ages.
The sexual assault of the week.
Brought to you by Sex Warrior 3.
Sex Warrior, all your friends.
Oh, God. McMahon and family are in the ring. And by family, I mean, of course, the Briscoe and Patterson are there.
Their extended family. You know, I think Vince McMahon's thinking, who am I going to take to a funeral with me to embarrass themselves?
Oh God.
You're with me for life, baby. Look at you, Pat Patterson.
Like the random uncles that show up in The Sopranos. Like,
they really are.
Is that technically my uncle? Is it? He's Uncle Patterson, all right?
He's Uncle Pat. Yeah, it's true.
Vince McMahon. Vince compares Triple H annulment. That's going to happen when he beats him this Sunday to cutting cancer out of his body. Ugh. Triple H then walks out with a clipboard talking about how great the stock options will be with Stephanie McMahon as his wife. I thought that was a good bit, actually.
I mean, it's quite nice to Triple H talking about how great the future of the company is going to be once he's married into it. Because truly is like some wonderful foreshadowing. I wonder whether Triple H, as he was saying this, was thinking, this is more shoot than you realise.
With how prophetic he's been and with the size of his schneb, can we call him Nostradamus?
Yes, we bloody well can. Nostradamus.
Anyway, good old nostrils. This goes on for a bit, to be honest, so we'll just skip ahead. Because they treat it like it's the spy exchange from Die Another Day. Eventually, because Triple H reminds us that Vince can't come within 50 feet of him, so he makes Shane McMahon deliver the contract over. Blah, blah, blah. No, you sign first. No, you sign first. I wear. Come over and say that, etc.
That's basically, it sounds like a big market row.
Yeah, really. Shane McMahon eventually hands him back, and then Triple H attacks Shane, and with the microphone as well. So it goes as he does it, which is always cool.
I like when it does that.
Big Batman sound effect.
But I think it encouraged an entire generation of wrestlers to be disrespectful to equipment.
Yeah, right.
I feel like now most shows I work at, there's some signage that says, do not throw the microphones around. They're expensive.
CM Punk's the mic drop. People go, if you drop the mic, you are paying for it, indie guy.
Yes.
And then DX all attacks Shane by the Titantron, with Triple H launching Shane off the stage with an amazing flip and turn by Shane.
One hell of a flip and turn. I give him 10.
He's going to say the gold may have his reach, but the silver is in his grasp. Then after a break, probably sponsored by some giant robot game, Shane McMahon is dying on a stretcher and tells Vince to promise him he'll beat Triple H at the big game slash karate finale slash World Series final
slash finale.
Slash blood sport, as seen in many an 80s film, slash The Mighty Ducks 2. This is followed by another big match, Test versus X-Pac.
Right, so this bit, previous, about 4 minutes before this.
I was going to take a breather for 5 minutes.
I'm just going to breeze through this. 4 minutes before this, X-Pac was out attacking Shane McMahon. Shane McMahon's almost brother-in-law, Test. Nowhere to be seen. X-Pac comes out for his match next. Then Test comes out looking Mardy. You got nothing to be Mardy about, mate. You're gutless. Move on. Why is Test being painted as the victim on commentary as well? Oh, Test. Michael Cole and Jerry Lawler going, Test, he's had the worst week of his life. Stephanie McMahon saying, hold my engagement ring.
You know why? Because they've seen the booking plans for him.
I think maybe he has as well, which might be why he's Mardy. It just annoys me. He looks so grumpy. Like, you got nothing to be grumpy about, mate. Nothing to be grumpy about.
Well, give it a few minutes, because let's see why Test is in a bad mood. Oh, some more Taz stuff. And Test actually sells this, which is nice.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, God, I'll have to job to him too, aren't I? Anyway, X-Pac is a dick and throws Test in the steps. And Test dramatically makes his way in, like every New Japan match, at the very last count. But after seeing Mankind do that to Al, not 15 minutes earlier, really takes the shine off it. Because even Al was like, oh, whatever, I'll get up.
It makes
Test look even more loserish than we're presenting him as.
It really does.
And then some other wrestling happens, but the important bit is X-Pac wins clean as a whistle with the X-Factor to build him towards the Kane match in pay-per-view, and Test is being built for his match with the booking committee. With the job centre.
Probably a cleaner we fell out with. State of test. Makes me angry. Waste of time. This is a test.
You know what? And you failed.
It really was a test. And they didn't do very well. It really was a test.
But don't worry, because we have The Rock versus Billy Gunn. The Rock talks up some Boston baseball player. But with all due respect to the Americans listening to this, all three of you, we have to listen to you talk about your silly games and sports every single effing week in WF. So I'll just skim it. And then
we'll go to
Fenway Park, and then Boston, and then Red Sox, and then the Green Monster and baseball bat. After baseball guy shines it up and removes it to splinters, Rock will add some pine tar on it and ass. There we go. There's your lot. Let's do that. Yeah, let's do this side. And then St. James's Park. And then Big Market. And then the Stadium of Light. No, I'm not going
to
say Stadium
of
Light.
To be fair, that's what we do a lot of the time. And then The Rock is going to go to Rise.
Yay! Get himself a fire bucket.
He's going to get a fire bucket. Pull himself some ugly tramp.
Yay! That's a lovely tramp, Jim.
The Rock is going to go to Athena's.
Yay!
The Rock is going to go to Athena's opposite Pop World. Yay! He's going to get himself a big old bag of cheesy chips.
Cheesy chips.
So The Rock is going to go to the taxi rack near the Beehive.
I've been there.
I relate to this reference, The Rock. He's going to take those cheesy chips.
Ooh, what's he going to do with them?
He's going to go over to the Tyne Bridge.
Oh, no, different deal.
He's gonna rip off a piece of the Tyne Bridge.
What?
Put the chips in the bit of the Tyne Bridge.
Never.
He's then gonna call Alan Shearer.
Shearer.
And then Alan Shearer is gonna take that bit of the Tyne Bridge, take those chips from Athena's on the Big Market, turn that something sideways, and hand it to you, because we're not wasteful for food in England.
Yay! Standing ovation. And I'll tell you something.
Play the Blade and Racist song. Play local hero.
The Rock's lost his liggy. See, to all the Americans who didn't like that, yeah. Now you know how it feels like.
Although saying that, did you watch the Superb Owl?
No. No interest.
Me neither.
My mates who sometimes watch the Royal Rumble with me are like, you're watching Super Bowl? Goes, nah, why would I want to stay up till 4 a.m. in the morning watching American sports game?
It's fake anyway.
It's fake. It's all about, it's great because they're there, like, they watch it just for the adverts. And I don't know people online talk about other people who do that. My mates, the people who watch it.
Mind you, the adverts are pretty brilliant.
Yeah, but I mean...
Bill Murray.
I like the Groundhog Day
one. The Bill Murray Groundhog Day one was
good. But look at what we're doing. We're staying up late. For why? To watch the advert. There is something inherently wrong with that, Tom.
Something weird, isn't it?
Yes.
They've got us. They really have.
But I did like the Bill Murray one, I'm not going to lie. I, like everybody else, run nostalgia, as do you, listening to the Cole Alex SmackDown review.
Well, that's it, yeah. That's why you're here.
Show from 20 years ago. Anyway, Billy Gunn always knew what to do in Rock matches. He knew his place. Do a move, get beat up, except Rock is going to no-sell it, then beat him while running with dress shoes on. Love that story. Ref gets bumped. Then Billy gets a very sneaky famous after maybe a minute, but he's not able to count because the ref is down. So gets him up again. Ref gets bumped again. Rob able to score the win with the people's elbow in about 2 minutes. Fast and furious match here. I think because it went, you know what? I think it's better if The Rock spends 5 minutes talking about Boston.
Yeah,
the Boston Crabs.
There is more value to The Rock having a big long chat than there is having a big long match with Billy Gunn.
Right. And plus with the referee getting bumped, there's a kind of, hey, Billy, if that referee hadn't been bumped, Billy would have been there. It serves its point in 2 minutes.
Yes, it does. And it's a story that we continue to tell in just a moment as well.
Thank you. Before the smack of the night. Western Union presents Shane McMahon nearly dead. That's Western Union, where you can get out money to buy such things as MechWarrior 3.
Can your money be transferred this quick? Just throw Shane McMahon off stage.
Yeah, with the WF endorsed sexual assault warrior robot.
Sex Warrior 3.
In brackets, he's the good one. Speaking of sexual assault, Triple H is here. And also Kane. No offense, Kane.
And this is our main event. I feel like we've rattled through SmackDown really quick this week.
Sometimes there's not much to say. Often, if we did the whole, like, and then Shane McMahon walks back, yeah, and then Shane McMahon comes here, and then it's like, whoa, this is a thrilling podcast, isn't it?
We're missing loads of key characters this week, like, from the undercard. So this week is very much Vince McMahon versus DX. That's the story. Yeah. More so than ever this week, and even in all the matches.
Well, it's been a very tame week in terms of angles and stuff, but don't worry. Look, listen how this is going to sound on this poor podcast, which done nothing wrong to us. So the match starts with Triple H shoving Hebner for the belt to take an issue with the horrible officiating in the Billy Gunn match. Hebner pushes him, but Triple H attacks because he's evil. Afterwards, he's going to put a used newspaper in the bin when there's a perfectly usable recycling bin right next to it,
oh,
Tom.
Oh, what a scumbag.
A ne'er-do-weller. He's going to order Armageddon and not even going to think about any gate. All right, I'll bang that joke to death.
No, you haven't, mate. They haven't, you haven't. Mate, we are going to be watching Armageddon later this week, and you'll watch with us next week when we do a watch along for Armageddon.
Yes, you will.
But we're going to watch it whilst playing MechWarrior 3.
It'll be a lot more interesting than an effing show.
Yes, it will.
And to skip ahead, I listen to the Something to Wrestle With Comrade and Bruce, because sometimes Bruce comes up with some lovely information or defense stuff, but there's one of the few ones I've listened to where, well, Mental said he gave it like 1.5 stars. And Bruce is like, yep, I completely agree, it was awful.
What is the point?
Anyway, Hebner is out, so Vince McMahon shows up in a Vince McMahon mask.
Is it Vince McMahon?
I was going to say, just a bit of context here. No pop from crowd, even though they literally did this on Raw with, hey, Vince McMahon can't come within 50 feet, yada, yada. So somebody shows up in a Vince McMahon mask. But it's Vince McMahon, and everyone knows it's Vince McMahon, and he counts the pin and all this. So they're redoing what they did on Raw. So we assume, because he has a Vince McMahon mask, it's Vince McMahon. No pop for the crowd. Triple H attacks Vince. But then, here comes another Vince. Good God, even the Vince clones have a union. Then that happens, and then another one, and really they were missing a joke here. When they had the episode of The Simpsons, when there's loads of Homer clones, they had a Peter Griffin appear for half a second.
Yes,
they should have had Vince McMahon come out in a Ted Turner mask.
Oh, that would have been wonderful.
Anyway, the army of Vinces march Triple H up the ring, up the Titantron ramp, where the head of the Vince clones attacks him. We'll call him Vince McMahon for sure.
Yeah, he was wearing the same suit that Vince McMahon was wearing earlier.
Run! It's Vince McMahon! Yes, but due to international copyright laws, we can't call him that. Still, we can run like it is Vince McMahon! But it isn't. And And Solidus Vince McMahon, the good clone, leaves him laying with a pipe.
And then DX all come out, and Vince McMahon is Super Vince McMahon, battering every member of DX with a lead pipe. Billy Gunn comes out, Road Dogg comes out, X-Bog comes out, all get battered with a pipe by the unstoppable force that is a 50-year-old business owner.
With a mask on.
With a mask on.
Get ready for Vince MechWarrior 3. That's the final time I'll do a joke.
Because
they love plugging MechWarrior 3. And it's why should they? Because there wasn't a match here. It was all angle. And contrary to a lot of people, I'm all right with there being shows like this because a lot of people say, God, the Attitude Era sucks because the shows are, there's 2-minute matches to build up. Yeah, my point is, they're using TV to hype up the pay-per-view.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't always the best decision to have a long-ass match. Of course, nowadays, we have 15-minute matches on TV to hype up a 20-minute match on the network. This is a different time, and at least there's a reason for it. It's leading to something. So I'll give a lot of leeway. Not use the wrong word there. Leeway. Leeway.
Dressing gown. You give a lot of dressing gown.
I'll give it a lot of dressing gown.
Yeah, I hear you. Like, it's very storyline-led this week, because there's a pay-per-view that they are... It's a pay-per-view they're very nervous about on Sunday.
So this should be.
And so they should be, because this is a pay-per-view without Steve Austin. First time in many years, a pay-per-view without Steve Austin.
When was the last time we did that?
Well, I'm thinking all the way back to mid-97, early 97 perhaps.
Well, he won Rumble 97 and was in Final Four. Was that WrestleMania? No, it must have been in all the ones in 97. Survivor Series. Happy 96.
So 96. So early, at least then early 96 in some capacity.
Time maybe? The last in your house?
I mean, obviously 96 and most of 97, he wasn't a focal point, but he was there. But then obviously then the Attitude Era kicks off with Steve Austin and he is everywhere. And this is the first time since the boom period where we haven't got Steve Austin on a WWF pay-per-view. So they are nervous. And there is some trepidation about building stars. I mean, they know they have to build stars, which is what they've been doing. But that is why Vince McMahon is in this position, because a lot of the time, Vince McMahon believes that if in doubt, put him in a storyline. And then there is some truth to that. There is some, you know, you look at TV ratings and such, and you do see that, like, there is a bump if they advertise that Vince McMahon's making an appearance.
Right, exactly. And Bruce Prichard's on the... I'm not sure if I fully believe him, but given the position they're in, I can understand that Vince McMahon is their best guy right now. He's the most popular guy they have at that level. And you go, if they're not doing anything with The Rock, as we've gone over several times before.
Well, that's it. I mean, you've got
to save it.
Yeah,
the good
they're
show.
Saving. They're saving. At their frame of mind right now, the main event of WrestleMania 16 is Triple H versus The Rock. That's the main event they're looking towards, they're moving towards. So therefore, they want to try and keep them two as separate as possible. So you can't put The Rock in that match. Mankind is banged up, but there's plans for Mankind beyond this. So you don't want to give him Mankind straight away. So you need something as a stopgap. And I guess the Vince McMahon thing is probably the most telling of the stories. I just feel like you could have made a star through the McMahon thing. You nearly did in Test. Exactly.
I remember him. But I do remember.
Gutless Test.
In Your House 12, It's Time does not have Steve Austin. And this is the month after he had the big match with Bret Hart. He was in a dark match, but they haven't released those yet for some reason. They are drip feeding them on the network.
Okay.
But so maybe one day we'll see that epic dark match that Austin had with Goldust in 96.
Oh, God. So In Your House, It's Time, so that would have been 96.
December 96.
December 96. Because that was meant to be built around Vader.
That's right, because it was called It's Time. So the idea was that Vader would beat Shawn Michaels at SummerSlam for the title. That didn't happen, so they went for Sid at Survivor Series, which ended up being the best match of Sid's career. But every time I watch SummerSlam 96, I still hope that Vader will win this time. Love you, Vader.
I like shows
like
that.
I know you're listening.
Yeah, so...
So Armageddon, the lineup is Tag Team Battle Royal for number one contendership for the tag titles. Kurt Angle versus Steve Blackman. Titties. The Hollies versus Rikishi.
Now, we need to expand on titties. It is a four quarters dressing gown match / evening gown match
for
the women's championship.
Can't subject to change.
Gonna see if I remember off the top of my head. Ivory, Barbara Bush,
Wipe, yep.
Jacqueline and Miss Kitty.
Yes.
Yes! I know my titty matches.
Well, that's a quote of the week. And the Hardcore Hollies, that's not their name, Matthew. The Buddy Hollies versus Rikishi and Viscera. The European title three-way extravaganza.
Oh, bring that noise. Bulldog versus Val Venus versus D'Lo.
X-Pac versus Kane in a cage. Chris Jericho versus...
In what? The cage.
Because in my head, I went Brody. I don't want him in the cage.
I'm in a rage. I want Brody in a cage.
It'd be great if I remember the line, but whatever.
The Wrestle Rock Rumble.
Chris Jericho's going to take on China. I can't do the... I'm going to ad-lib it. Rumble.
I'm Chris Jericho, and I'm here to say I'm going to beat up China in a major way.
The New Age Outlaws will take on The Rock and Sock. The Big Show will take on Big Boss Man in the penultimate match of the evening. And Triple H versus Vinnie Mac. Woo-hoo.
There is not much to love.
What a show, eh?
But it's so frustrating because you can tell they've tried really hard to build stuff and nothing's really stuck.
It's always awkward December because, like, look, just wait until January. Rumble's coming. Doesn't matter what we do here.
We just
build the foundation, put the Rumble on top. It's all right.
Is there anything you can do in that sort of hold steady position? Because every year, like, I mean, that's why WWE started putting the TLC pay-per-view in December, because they're like, we need to put something meaty on between Survivor Series and the Rumble, because it's a bit of a dead zone.
Yeah.
There's two dead zones, I feel like, in WWE pay-per-view years. I mean, it's fast all becoming a dead zone. But there's two dead zones. There is the SummerSlam, between SummerSlam and Survivor Series.
Absolutely.
And between Survivor Series and Royal Rumble. Yeah. There's two quite distinct dead zones.
It's gimmick hell from SummerSlam Series when it's...
Yeah.
I mean, right now it's what? Not Extreme Rules, beg your pardon. It's Hell in a Cell, Super Showdown. Why am I forgetting them? There's a bunch of other stuff happening. I'm not very real.
What, between SummerSlam and Survivor Series?
Oh, no, wait. Survivor Series is a gimmick pay-per-view. I would even call, maybe like, not the show after SummerSlam immediately, but then once those things kicking in, it's the gauntlet of, okay, let's try and book something around these awful gimmicks that we can change. But now, I think we're ranting about modern-day wrestling. That is not the thing of this podcast, Tom.
No.
Wrestling's great.
It's connected to this
everything
because...
Everything is awesome.
Everything is cool when you're part of a team. No, it's connected to this because we are in this weird dead zone, and it's more profound than it's ever been because we're missing one of the biggest players in wrestling.
None more dead than Autumn 99. Undertaker, dead. Mankind's body, nearly dead. Austin's neck, dead. Test's push, dead.
Interest, dead. Met Warrior 2, dead.
Not dead.
Met Warrior 3 is coming out.
Oh, you got me. Dive nubbit.
Hey, look, I tell you, so we'll talk more about Armageddon in just a second. What did you remember from this particular episode of SmackDown? Because it's finished now. We rattled through
Not
it.
A sausage. Not a bloody thing.
I remember
the Al Snow Mankind feud, because I think I was talking about that earlier. And I actually jumped the gun because I realised they were going to not do anything for a bit, then bring it back.
Mm.
I was like, oh, that's great. That unresolved plot point of who put the book in the bin. That I remember. That I still liked. It was very human, which Mankind did very well.
I remember Shane McMahon being hoied off a stage. I remember that was quite a good spot.
Doing the
yeet flip, big old flip, good lad. And you could tell like Shane was excited to do stuff like that. He's
still doing it to this day.
Still living well, isn't he, Jeebus? What did you forget from this show?
It was Test.
It's easy to forget.
Yeah, let's leave it like that. It was Test that said to Steph, let's call the whole thing off. Like, it wasn't Steph going... Look, Test, that would make sense. It would make sense for Steph to go, look, Test, right now, I'm so upset right now. And Test's like, oh, you know what? I'll wait for you. I'll wait for you, Steph, if it takes forever. Our names are very nearly the same. They're almost an anagram of each other. It was destiny. No, Test tells Steph.
Yeah.
I was like, wow. I mean, I don't want to be one of these people that blame Triple H for everything negative with people's pushes. But, so that was weird. And I didn't remember that because it just like what?
Yeah, it just made Test look even worse than he did previously. Like, this guy is done. This guy is dead. And then he lost to X-Pac, clean as a whistle. Like, he's done. He's unless you are planning some big old rise from the Phoenix, Phoenix from the Ashes type storyline in which Test rallies back and wins the Rumble. Spoiler, it's not happening.
Oh, Tom.
But unless you're planning something like that, then great, but they're not. There's,
you're right.
There's nothing in his future.
At this point, neither China nor Test looked realistic wrestling men. So, on that happy note...
Let me tell you what I remembered. Or I forgot.
Beg your pardon, we talked over that. I thought you were going to say the same thing as me.
No. I forgot the McMahon Maskmania at the end. All those guys coming out as McMahon. I totally forgot that was a bit that happened. I'm assuming that it was Patterson and Briscoe. And then one other. Maybe Slaughter. He was quite...
Christopher Daniels.
Christopher Daniels. It's normally Christopher Daniels, isn't it? It was Christopher Daniels, Hayd Vanson, and...
Who replaced Doink? I killed it.
Oh, Paul Diamond.
Yeah.
It's Paul Diamond, Hayd Vanson, and Christopher Daniels. That's who it was. And then the whole bit at the end where it's like, oh, is that Vince? He's wearing the same suit as earlier. It was compared to the one they did on Raw. It was such... It was a really underwhelming... recap of it, reheating of it, because the one on Raw was like Triple H getting his comeuppance in the center of the ring by Vince McMahon in a Vince McMahon outfit, whereas this was him on the ramp just battering him with a pipe, and then it just kind of stopped. I forgot how sort of weak that was going into it,
but they had to do something. It's like, Vince McMahon do anything against Triple H? It's like, no. Oh, it's no holds barred, and he's got a mask. Ooh, okay, maybe he's
and chance. A pipe.
Ooh, but does the pipe have a mask? We don't know. We'll have to watch Armageddon to find out.
And you know what's cool?
What's cool?
You listening to this can watch it with us.
Yes.
Because next week, same time, same channel, same podcast feed, we have a Cultaholic Classic watch along. These are always great fun. So myself and Matthew Gregg will be watching the entirety of Armageddon 1999. And you'll have a commentary soundtrack that you can watch along with us. So it's like we're in the room with you.
It'll be a comedy during all the matches. It'll be a tragedy when it's the Bulldog three-way.
It'll be a comedy of errors throughout regardless.
Oh my God, is it bad?
Oh, mate, I'm excited. I'm excited. Until then, he is at Matthew Gregg on Twitter.
Hello.
I am at Tom Campbell on Twitter.
Hello.
Together we are at Cultaholic on Twitter. Join us next week. We're going to watch a real crap end to 1999. Let's bring on the millennium. Love you. Bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
For all the wrestling headlines in just 10 minutes, search Cultaholic Wrestling News on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.